Allison Rosen. Allison Rosen is your new best friend. Allison, Allison, with her the good times never end. Allison Rosen, doing the wavy pencil dance again. Allison Rosen, Allison's your new best friend.
Hey, everyone. Hi, hello. Welcome to another episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here in my studio with my husband, Daniel Quantz. Hello.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I need to tell them that you guys rate, review, subscribe, leave us a comment or a review, really is what I mean. And it helps out the show. We read them on the show, etc. So Daniel is putting on a brave face, but he's experiencing some disappointment regarding his drink, the flavor of which is Arctic Vibe.
Oh my God. I thought that was too small for you to mention.
No, nothing's too small for you. Nothing's too small for me to mention.
Yeah, I bought one of those Celsius, energy drinks. Mm-hmm. It's the flavor is Arctic Vibe. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I'm not feeling Arctic Vibe, perhaps. Class action.
Yes.
They're promising Arctic vibes.
But what would an Arctic vibe even be?
I don't know. You know, like feeling like you're in a snowy climes. Maybe
like a gum commercial where you like, you know, yeah. You bite into it and then,
some
ooh,
twins
like a chill.
On skis come yes. skiing by. And I don't know. Yeah, feel a chill. Mm-hmm. A little chill, a little brisk.
Is it like, does it even feel cold in your mouth? Is it menthol?
Well, it's cold. Arctic?
Okay, but that's because you put it in the refrigerator.
It was in a fridge. So it's in that sense, it's cold. But I wouldn't call it Arctic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, hey, listen, if you're out there and you've had Arctic Vibe and not felt Arctic vibes and are a lawyer,
you could be entitled to up to $2.
Let's get together and sue Celsius and get a little moolah. A little... cha-ching.
Speaking of products, Daniel,
yeah.
I have really big lotion news.
Oh,
I was
going to
save this for like a TikTok or Instagram or something, and I think I will follow it up with some kind of, you know, Instagram reel or story about this.
Okay.
Let
me get my meditation face on. Here we go. Please talk about lotion.
When you say your meditation face, is that because inside you're meditating while I talk?
In that show Shogun, one of the characters talks about the Eightfold Gate, which is this series of gates behind which you retreat when things get difficult.
Uh-huh.
So I'm retreating into my Eightfold Gate as you discuss lotions go.
I feel like you already know what I'm going to say because I have been, in the same way that you... Mm-hmm. won't stop talking about Taylor Swift to me, which is quite an about face.
Hello. Hi.
In the same way that you are obsessed now with Taylor Swift, that you've gone from
obsessed,
like...
Obsessed, come on.
You've gone from... This is you earlier today. Taylor Swift's merch is so hilarious.
It was. It was hilarious. She's selling a cardigan.
I don't get it.
She's a, like,
I know.
You do get it.
I know.
That,
I know, but
thing.
I just mean,
you
like,
do get it.
Yeah, but if you weren't, like,
you
if you weren't basking in the rays of the sun
you
that is Taylor Swift.
You are being so unfair and mischaracterizing my Swiftrist.
You're a Swifty.
I am Swifty adjacent.
How I am Swifty adjacent in that I am sitting near
you're
you.
You're Swifty adjacent to Jason.
How are you Swifty adjacent and not a Swifty?
Well, because I don't think that I would ever really put her albums on to listen to casually. Like, I'm not...
Right, not casually. Intensely.
No, I'm not like... I feel like to call yourself to call yourself... to call yourself...
Look, you're getting tongue-tied talking about her.
I do love Taylor.
You
though.
Love her. You have opinions about her relationships, her songs, her music. Less her music, but
listen. As listeners know, last year I was extremely critical of Taylor and didn't get it. She was served up to me without my consent.
Yeah.
And so I went on a kind of obsessive deep dive to try to figure out what the deal was. Mm-hmm. And I listened to all of her albums in order.
Mm-hmm. Totally what someone would do if they aren't into someone.
That's what someone would do when they're trying to understand something.
Yeah, it's true.
Freak.
I know. Okay, go on.
And
I started
to appreciate, not uncritically, but I don't want to dwell on the critical part.
Why does it not represent you?
Because I don't want to harsh anyone's
mouth.
You know, there are people out there who love her music. I don't want to be like, this is why you shouldn't. You should be more critical of her.
Thank you for saying you don't want to harsh. I think you were going to go with the mellow, as opposed to you don't want to yuck anyone's yum, because I don't like that phrase.
Ironically, the phrase yucking someone's yum yucks my yum.
It harshes my mellow.
Right. I feel like I get it now. And so then when the new album came out.
You got it. You felt you got like, it before.
I feel like after listening
these albums
to the,
dropped?
After listening to the albums, I understood her appeal. I mean, come on. It's not hard to understand her appeal. I'm like, it's like trying to understand the appeal of like, you know, bubblegum or something. I mean, it's like, it makes it sound like it's some like difficult thing that I,
right.
Like, but for me it was, because I truly didn't understand it, you know? I got it. Like, again, you know, a lot of songs that are very listenable, but not songs that I would listen to really ever. I wouldn't turn it off if it was on, you know?
Right. You wouldn't kick her out of your bed.
I wouldn't kick the songs out of my bed if they were eating crackers.
Which so frequently happens.
You know what my stepfather would say at the end of that statement?
Tell me.
He goes, especially if I was crackers. So funny. So funny.
How old were you when that joke started?
8.
This is the stepfather who had a t-shirt that said,
the only stepfather I've ever had.
What was it? Happiness is a tight pussy?
Yeah.
And then it was a picture of a kitten in a jar.
In a jar. It's so funny. Do you guys understand how funny that is?
What are some more of his jokes? Oh, did you catch him?
Wait, do you get it though? Because it's like not just a cat in a bottle, which you think, yeah, that is funny. Like happiness is when you stuff a cat in a bottle.
Yeah,
that alone, just on its surface, is happiness. Okay?
I feel bad for the cat.
But there's another meaning.
Which is what?
A really small vagina. Small vaginas our happiness, and when you stuff a cat in a jar.
Was a kitten or a cat?
It was a cat, and the cat was not thrilled.
I feel bad for the cat and for you. So wait, let's.
I never thought of it from the cat's point of view.
Let's recount, and then we'll get back to all of this other stuff. But because we got Taylor Swift and lotion, but let's recount some of his other riposts.
His other things that he would
japes.
Say.
I'm trying to think of like funny words for jokes. Yeah. There was, did you get him?
Did you? Yeah. He'd just out of the blue go, hey, did you catch him? And then you go, who? And you go, the guy who hit you with the ugly stick. So good. And then I don't know the others. I can't remember.
Okay. If you do remember,
they pop into my head from time to time. Anyway, Taylor. So, okay. That happened. And then.
Daniel's stepfather was mean, by the way. This is we're not Daniel's not lovingly recalling his jokes.
No.
He's processing.
But moving on from
that.
And then when she got with Travis Kelce, it was like, for me and guys like me and Travis, it was it was like kind of like validation that that hunks like us are having our moment, you know? So that felt great. I felt like Taylor's, you know, embracing this type of masculinity that I and Travis represent.
Mm-hmm, right. And usually you guys get passed over, right?
I don't know. I've just felt like, you know, these sort of sensitive, you know, tortured poets. Those kinds of guys, like this kind of guy. I have a notebook in my back pocket with my poems. Those kinds of guys, that's what she had been into before. But now
it's funny because
she's in a rough and rugged.
And that's you?
Yes.
Because you're also someone who will wax poetic about a moleskin notebook.
I don't know what you are. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay, go on.
And so the new album drops, as they say, and I give it the old listen. I strap on the cans and I listen to that thing a few times, and I think it's a great album. Mostly, I would cut out the middle part.
What goes on in the middle?
First
part?
First 10 tracks strong. Then there's a bunch of tracks that I think she could have. And then the last four tracks or five tracks, really good. But I would have done a whole album like those last four or five tracks, though, because I feel like they might be better than the beginning.
But there's two albums, right?
Yeah, well, I guess. On my iTunes, it's all one. But I think,
so when
she
you're saying the
album.
Middle, you mean the end
I'm
of the
talking
first
about all 32 tracks.
Oh, my God.
Album.
So you're talking about, like, the end of the first one and the beginning of the second one. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm saying cut that out. It could have been one. It could have been...
Did I just burp into the mic
it could have been 14
in
tracks.
An audible way?
It should have been 15 tracks.
Okay.
Whatever.
Did you hear me burp into the mic? Tony, don't you dare cut this.
I think I did.
I felt a little something
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
I did.
I'd like to apologize to everyone.
Anyway, I thought one of the things that is... amusing to me about Taylor is just how normal and uncool she is. Mm-hmm. One of the keys to her fame, by the way. And so I was curious what merch for some reason, and I looked and she's selling a cardigan. And I just thought, that is an unironic cardigan that's being sold. I don't know, and it amused me. And so I shared it. I didn't know I'd be mocked relentlessly.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like we've just been having our usual conversations about whatever it is we talk about, our kids. We talk about our kids.
Kids
the show.
Politics.
What did you say?
Kids and politics.
And doctors, yeah.
And doctors.
It's not like we were... And Wendy. And there's some laughs. It's not like we were just having our normal that and then out of the blue, you mentioned Taylor Swift. It's been nonstop Taylor chat. You... told
well,
me last
a lot
night
to talk about.
You tapped me on the hand and you said, hey, you should read the lyrics too, blah 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 blah.
Well, she sings about something in one song that I felt gave insight into something that she thinks that it relates to something that we had talked about.
I don't even remember us talking about it. And are you being vague on purpose?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, so I'm sure I would if you told me. But so then I read the lyrics to the song.
Well, I gave you the wrong song.
And then I read them and
well,
I was...
Well, come on. I've only listened to the album like twice.
Yeah,
maybe,
so I read the lyrics to the song and I was like,
you're so confused.
Seem... I don't want to say something negative about Taylor, but they seem... like, I'm sure... The one you had me read was the one about... what's it called? What was the wrong one?
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Yeah, and it's just about, you know...
That wasn't the
The right show
one.
Must... It's about how her heart is broken, but she's still putting on a great show and the fans want more. And that just seemed to me a pretty
oh, but
shallow
honey, if you
thought.
Understood.
Even though... Hang on. Even though it's a... I'm sure it's a good song, but it's not like a... I just didn't understand why I needed to read this. And I was like,
you
oh, you are in so deep.
Because you didn't. I gave you yeah. the wrong song. Although, there was a show in Florida, I think, maybe. I've gone deep, folks.
Oh, my God.
What the hell else am I going to do? I'm a 50-year-old man. I can't go to the clubs. I can't go
right.
out
yeah, go
with the guys.
Go where you belong
I
to a
go,
Taylor Swift concert.
I can't go out with the guys. It's not football season. What am I going to do except obsess about Taylor Swift's new album? She had a tour, a show where I think she performed right after she found out that she broke up with one of the last two guys. I don't even know. And
do you know, though?
She was heartbroken and like there was a song and she couldn't finish the song because she was crying. And then that's what that song's about. See, it's not just about the show must go on. It's about
a
when
specific.
The show did go on.
Mm. Well, I stand corrected.
But that wasn't even the song.
Now you say like, oh, I don't even know which guy. But Who are the options?
Well, I don't know. See,
it could have been who or it could have been who.
This is where I reveal to all you Swifties out there that I'm not a Swiftie because I don't know. I have a vague notion of the timeline of her recent relationships and sort of can, you know, her songs aren't that hard to figure out what she's singing about. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of go, oh, yeah, she's singing about this guy, this guy. But like, I don't know when. She recently had a breakup of a major relationship, and then right on the heels of that, and that, from what I can tell from reading the lyrics while listening to it, that sort of dwindled.
That was one of those relationships. Joe Alwyn?
Yeah, that relationship sort of, like, it seems like had kind of died a while ago, and then they just sort of broke up. But they were together for a long time, and then, but she was carrying this torch for this other guy,
Matt Healy.
Yes. And he, it seems, again, all I know is what
she's
written.
Know all this through Daniel, but
all I know is from what's in the lyrics, so I don't know. It seems like he may have, like, love-bombed her or somehow, like, had made her think that they were going to be an item. And then, so she leaves the one relationship, gets in with this other guy, and then he completely freaks out. I think... It seems that her fans may have had something to do with it because she's really pissed at her fans. Folks, if you're a Swiftie, Taylor ain't real thrilled with you right now. and then he ghosted her. Imagine ghosting the biggest pop star in the fucking world. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's crazy. But... Girlfriend, she needed. I'm talking to you like you're my girlfriend.
I'm your girlfriend.
You're my ex-girlfriend.
Now wife.
Yeah. That's a Scott Aukerman joke. She needed a real man like me and Travis.
Are you hoping to leave me for her?
For her?
Yeah.
Boy, that would be scandalous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine. Sometimes I do this. Do you do this ever? You go like, sometimes if I'm like in Arkansas and I see a Waffle House and I'll think, what would be the set of circumstances that would have to happen if for me to end up being a cook at that Waffle House? Do you ever sort of?
Maybe not exactly the same, but
like what would have to happen for that to seem like a good idea to Taylor Swift?
Oh, for her. Yeah. What set of circumstances?
Well, I would leave you in a heartbeat if she wanted me. Are you kidding?
I didn't, though. You'd admit it so quickly and easily.
Would you blame me?
No.
Of course not. I'd give you a stipend.
Are you interested? Are you interested in leaving me before before Taylor Swift asks you out?
I would leave you for the idea. For the idea of, I would leave you for an Eras T-shirt.
Thank you. No, really.
No,
though.
I wouldn't.
Do you have a crush on her?
No, I don't. Actually,
are you sure it's okay if you do?
No, I seriously don't. She, I don't. I don't think she's sexy. I think she's, I mean, she's like attractive, but she's. I don't think there's anything sexy about her. She's not like, she's sort of dorky. But I mean, in an appealing way. No, I'm not like, she's not, it's not that. I think it's more just interesting. I know, it seems like I'm lying.
It does.
I know.
I don't care, but.
No, I think it's funny to be I think it's funny to be like, decide that I'm like into Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. I think that's funny because it's so counter to
like when I was into wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, I am.
It is a little bit. And it'd be like if I got into Sanrio.
You know, oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's like a little bit like that. If I'm trying to like identify what. But if there's an appeal there, what is that appeal? And I think it's that she is, there's something very positive about her and
is she uncynical?
Refreshingly uncynical, yeah. And refreshingly honest and authentic. which I don't really feel is you. There's much of out there these days. I struggle to think of art, popular art,
mm-hmm.
that is
sunny,
honest, and just earnest. You know, she's bearing her soul. She, you know, she.
You
she,
used to like when I did that.
When was the last time you did that, though? For real?
I bear my soul all the time.
Oh.
I just wrote what.
But this is, you can be honest right here. I mean, do you think people buy this?
Oh, please. I just wrote a whole thing on Substack about how I had a meeting with the principal at my kid's school, and I was so nervous just because he's a principal, even though he's a person who's younger than I am.
Honey, you're kind of the Taylor Swift of podcasting. You know, like
you.
In that way. I don't know.
Thank you.
No, I get like, I'll just, for no reason, get weirdly obsessed about something for five minutes. Like I like this time last year, I was obsessed with Sia.
Oh,
I'll go through these weird.
Year.
I'll just go through a weird period where I'm like really focused on some.
Would you like to go see her live though,
Taylor?
Yeah.
If I had good seats, that would be fun. The only problem with going to see Taylor live is that. The entire stadium sings every word of every song. So it seems like you're really going to a Taylor concert to hear a bunch of people sing her music.
Yeah.
And then watch her dance around, which I don't know. I don't need to see that.
So my friend Trevor.
But I don't know. It's not like my thing. I'm not a Swiftie. But I like Swifties. I want to be. Listen, if you're a Swiftie and you know how I can become a Swiftie and get. And I can draft on that wave, or I can surf that wave.
What does that mean?
It's a huge movement. And these people, if they all gave me a dollar.
Oh, you want to exploit the wave.
Exploit it.
Yeah.
But I want to use a different word. I want to draft.
Draft on it. Okay. So our friend Trevor, has been into Taylor Swift for a long time.
Which I spent years not understanding mm-hmm. and thinking how.
Yeah, what?
How?
Yeah, how and what. But now, don't you sort of see him as an early adopter? He was into her before she was huge. What's happening here?
I'm still a little bit, it's how.
Okay, you haven't yet graduated to he's an early
because
adopter.
Because again, I'm not putting her albums on.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
Are you consuming her as you would consume like the Bravo boards, like Vanderpump and stuff?
Maybe a little.
Okay, speaking of, and then I have got to talk about lotion.
Guys, I am so sorry to keep you from this lotion talk.
So now she's into, you know, hunks like you and Travis.
You were a type. I'm just yes. The type of guys.
Yeah. Now, who else is in this type? Is it Brock? From Vanderpump, Sheena's husband? Because he's kind of like...
No.
No, okay.
Because Brock's not rugged. You see the kind of lacy shit he wears. Mm. He's not a man's man.
Okay. And you are.
Yeah, I'm just a bud-drinking man's man, you know? I'll just throw down the back of my truck, you know? Uh-huh. Me and the guys will just, you know, pull out a cooler. We'll sit there. We'll drink beer. Other guys from the neighborhood come up. We'll talk about... mowing lawns and repairing cars mm-hmm. and building houses and shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's you.
Just fucking guy stuff.
Mm-hmm. So who else? Who else are these kind of... Wait, Travis is like that?
It's just a type, honey. You know, look, I'm not... Obviously, I'm not one of the great tight ends in the NFL. So no, it's not like what he does. I don't... Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't do that. I'm sort of the...
But it's like a...
But it's like a kind of like rugged American masculinity that mm-hmm. we represent. I don't know what to tell you.
And who else? Who are some others that represent this?
There's tons of guys like this out there. But honey, we're not the type of guys that splash our name all over the place. You know, you may not know all of our name. We're just out there doing stuff, you know, hauling lumber around. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll just pick up a bunch of lumber and we'll move it from one place to the other place, you know?
For no reason?
Just hammer a bunch of nails and then slam back a cold Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
We like to like load up the truck with gravel and then go dump it out in the desert or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we see a guy who's doing some repairs, we'll just pull up and ask him some questions about it. Hold something for him.
Do you join in sometimes?
No. He's doing fine on his own.
He needed help, you're right.
But he needed me to hold something. You know? And I gave him a fucking cold bud.
How long have you been this kind of guy?
Look at you trying to act like you don't even know. That's so funny. Anyway. So anyway, it's our moment, and so I'm appreciating it. That's all.
It's just like, you haven't always been this kind of guy.
I've always been this guy. It's like you just haven't seen it because it's like magic eye. You've been seeing what you wanted to see.
No, because I didn't unfocus my eyes.
Well, you also, you know, you weren't raised around guys like me.
Right.
You know, so you don't really understand it. And also, you know, I've just been trying to, you know, guys like us, we are comfortable enough in our masculinity to let you shine. And so it allows you to focus solely on yourself. And so there's been a lot of like self-focus is what I would call it on your part. And now I'm kind of forcing you to look
right,
beyond
because now it's your moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that.
It's your and Travis's moment.
I'm just saying that's what they're saying.
So now I have to stop thinking about myself. And start.
No, you don't have to, but I'm forcing you to right now in this moment.
Yes. Okay. The funny thing is, I know this is a little bit joking. Well, it's quite joking.
What? What part?
Most of it.
Okay.
But you are handy.
Yes.
And strong.
Okay.
So you're all those things. You're just not all those other things.
I guess I'm not getting you to see beyond yourself, am I? That's all right. Again, I don't, you know, we're egoless guys like us. You know, Travis is out there flying to Brazil, going to an Eras show, wearing Taylor merch and singing along.
Do we say Eras, not Eras?
Guys like us don't get hung up on pronunciations.
Okay.
You know, we can let you shine, honey. It's fine.
Is that what you think?
I'll wear your merch, is what I'm saying.
Thank you. Does he wear her merch?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to go the distance?
I think so.
Really?
I think for her, you know, like she's like the biggest pop star, one of the biggest pop stars ever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And she's always chosen these guys who are like, you know, either actors or musicians, and they can't handle being not as famous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know, but it seems to me that's been a problem where it's like, if you're also a musician, it'd be fucking hard for your partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your ego just gets in the way. If you're an actor, same sort of thing. So what she needed was someone who's just in another thing.
Right.
It's like he could break up with her and it wouldn't have any effect on his career.
Right.
They're not he can be with her, and also he's one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. So he's fine in his accomplishments. He's won two Super Bowls. Like he's at a level where there's no threat. And so he can fully just be there for her, and it's maybe that one of the first times she's had that. And so I think that and again, guys like us make good husbands. So I think
did she meet him?
I think that I don't actually know. I think it was like a friend set them up or something. I have now exhausted my Taylor Swift knowledge.
I don't even think you scratched the surface.
Well, there's more to know, but I don't know if I can go further with it.
What's your favorite song of hers?
See, I wouldn't even know how to answer that.
There was, you know,
I like her more recent stuff more than I like her early stuff. Mm. I can say that.
There's one song that I like from one of those albums, and it's like, I think it's from Folklore or Evermore, but I think it's Folklore, and it's like, it's about like a woman who in a house or something. There goes the greatest.
I don't know.
Had a marvelous time.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
It's probably great, though.
It's pretty good.
Hey, it's Todd Perry from Allison Rosen's other podcast, Allison and Todd After Hours. And I think the big reason why younger people really love our show is because, let's face it, we're pretty hip.
I'll tell you exactly what I read. I don't need to hide it. I was reading a book called The Menopause Manifesto.
To hear more, check out patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. patreon.com/AllisonandTodd.
Are you ready to hear about the lotion now?
Okay, here. I'm going behind the eightfold.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're receding again. Listen. I wish that we had some kind of lotion chat jingle or something. Do you know what I'm going to say, though? Because I feel that I've been trying to tell you, but you've been too in a Taylor bubble.
Something about the Avene, and then you ran out, and then you bought some, and then you... Something about Vaseline.
Those are the beats.
These words floating in my mind. I don't know what their association with each other is.
Oh, my God. I need to quiz you on other things going on in my life.
No, you don't.
What's going on with, my HRT, hormone replacement therapy? And, how am I?
You're on a new formulation.
Keep going. I mean, I'm not yet, but I will be.
They're trying to dial it in.
Mm-hmm.
Because... it was making you a real bitch. Right?
That's not true.
I think isn't that what the doctor told you? She's like a real fucking bitch.
No. There was a problem with what I was on before. Do you remember what it was?
It wasn't being a fucking bitch?
No.
You had a period.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. Good.
And so they're trying to...
How would you describe that period?
Heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And disappointing.
You do pay attention. Demoralizing.
Demoralizing.
And disappointing.
And disparaging.
And déclasé.
And découpé.
and décolletage. Now, why though? Why was it disappointing? No, I've really seen a few listeners.
Because you thought you were done.
Yes,
with that
good,
shit.
Good, good. Okay.
Yeah. So now, your lotion, you ran out of a lotion that's very important to you. And then you were waiting for the new lotion. And in the meantime, you used Vaseline and it worked.
Yeah, pretty much. So some background. Can you give them the background?
You always thought that Vaseline... you always thought... it's like the... I'm repeating after you.
There is a... that thing. Yeah. Talking about that guy. There is a Zionist.
In the camp. The
we
Vaseline...
we will form...
oh, my God.
A human chain.
Can I just say for a second, if I really believed in something, really believed in a cause, and I was like, fuck, I feel so strongly about this. I'm going to go and I'm going to protest. And then one of the people on my side was that person, or someone who talked like that, I would be out of the car. I would I'm not going to repeat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat after someone who talked like that.
That it's like a real hall monitor voice. Oh, it's hectoring.
Fuck, that is a turn. Anyway.
I know. I noticed that person's voice before I noticed their loathsome views.
Yeah. It's just... no. No. Nope. Anyway.
Back to the lotion.
What the fuck was I talking about?
There's some background on this. Some background I must give them to understand the lotion situation.
You thought Vaseline hurt your hands and have been you and surprised to discover that it didn't. In fact, it was good for your hands.
Well, so, okay, so here's the deal, guys.
Is this your way of engaging my attention during this segment?
No, but it seems to have worked.
Ugh.
My hands are Fabergé eggs. I have, they peel and they're sensitive and it's like I'm allergic to everything and I just touch something. Like if I touch fabric, especially wet fabric, but sometimes, or towels, or I don't even know what it is that my hands react to, but they're constantly peeling. And I've talked to dermatologists and there doesn't seem to be consensus about what it is. The last thing a dermatologist a while ago said, dyshidrotic eczema, but I don't think it's that. Although I think Greg Heller gets that. I think it's I forget. I found it online. I was like, I found my people. I found the what I think is the diagnosis. Of course, that's just me online. But anyway, for years now, I've been using this lotion that a different dermatologist recommended, and it's Avene, and I don't know how you say that. Avene.
I always call it Avene.
You know, it's actually French, so I would think it would be Avene. But I don't know. And it's the Xeracalm AD balm. They make a cream and a balm, and I prefer the balm, and it's like very moisturizing and has a very special feel, and I really like it, and it is fucking expensive. But I use it, and I ran out, and I ordered more, and I ordered a few things from the company, and they sent the other things, but not this lotion. I was like, but that's the thing I need. You're depriving me. It's like someone who needs medicine, but it's lotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out, and my hands were so uncomfortable, and I had a little Vaseline lip therapy in my purse, and I just squeezed some into my hand, and I was like, well, this is not going to work well. Because I had this idea, as Daniel alluded to, so interestingly.
Yeah, very interestingly.
Yeah, that first, this is going to sound crazy, but certain lotions, even if they should be moisturizing, somehow, like, if I have peeling on my hands, it, like, makes the peelies almost crispy. It, like, I don't know, it seems to somehow, like, dry out my hands further or something weird.
Is it, so, like, alcohol in there or something?
Well,
like,
there are lotions that have alcohol, and I am wondering if that's what happens.
Because that will dry you out.
Yeah. So, but I was surprised that it actually felt pretty emollient and good. So then, given that it was, you know, a long, cold winter without my lotion, I just started using a tube of straight Vaseline. And I was noticing that it was working pretty well. And you know, Vaseline is way cheaper. Like, way cheaper. This other lotion is, for the big thing, the big bottle, it's $50. And for the smaller bottle, it's $36. So Vaseline is like $6 or something. So anyway, finally, 3 bottles of the lotion arrived. Because I was like, I can't live without this. I need to source it somewhere. So now I'm waist high in expensive lotion, but I find that I'm reaching for the Vaseline and I don't know what to make of it. And I don't know if I can return this expensive lotion. So I'm kind of like going back
and
forth.
Why wouldn't you be able to return it?
I don't know. Cause it's a cosmetic. I mean, I haven't
opened. As long as it's not open.
Yeah. I mean, it's just shocking.
This is a great story.
But, you know, for people out there who deal with hand stuff, I would say, have you tried straight up Vaseline? It's surprisingly moisturizing.
I mean, isn't that why Vaseline became a thing in the first place?
Oh, how do you mean?
Wasn't it derived from like coal or something like that? And I can't remember the story. And there were like coal miners or something who would use it on their hands because of the you know, how rough the work was, and they found that it helped their hands.
I don't know.
It's some sort of thing like that.
Yeah.
Well,
the lotion that I use has glycerin in it, and glycerin is a humectant, whereas Vaseline just coats. It doesn't actually, like, suck moisture. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this is just like, it's just big news in my world. And also, speaking of emollients and skin, You know, I had to get those two little, I had two spots biopsied. Mm-hmm. And the directions for wound care were to keep the spots coated in Aquaphor and then put a Band-Aid on, which was shocking to me. Because I always thought when you have a cut or irritation or something, you're supposed to let air hit it. But they don't want air hit to hit it.
Remember when I told you you should write a book about your life?
You changed your mind.
Maybe that's not the best idea.
I had a father who was a doctor, and I was raised to think that moist and enclosed is a breeding ground for infection. So the idea of keeping your biopsy moist and covered, for people who hate the word moist, I'm sorry, I just said it a bunch of times. Like, no, that'd be shocking. When my dad would put on a Band-Aid, he always, like, it was, he put it on so loose. He never wanted to do, like, a tight Band-Aid, lest you enclose and create a breeding ground for infection. So I'm just saying, I don't know. Should I become a doctor with my fascination with Band-Aids?
No.
You don't think I have what it takes?
You know I love medical talk.
Yeah.
I think that if you cover the wound with Aquaphor or whatever, it's not going to get infected. It's only if it's exposed and wet that something could breed. You know what I mean?
Well, I think there's bacteria on skin no matter what. There's just bacteria everywhere.
Yeah.
Why do you hate medical chat so much?
I don't know.
What if Taylor Swift was talking about her various ointments?
I wouldn't want to hear it.
Really?
I don't like that stuff.
You would kick Taylor Swift out of bed for talking about ointment or lotion?
No.
You wouldn't?
I would just tune her out.
What if she talked about like a cyst?
That I would, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to a call.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Shannon from LA. I have a just me or everyone. So I don't know if this is just an epidemic or what, but I feel like everybody has acid reflux. So I'll be listening to podcasts, not yours, actually, where you have acid reflux, but everybody else I listen to seems to have acid reflux. But is this just me or everybody? It's everywhere, even when I watch TV. People with acid reflux. And I don't know if it's just that I'm noticing it now that it came to my attention, but yeah, everybody's got it. Anyways, this is Shannon from LA. Hope you guys are doing well. Bye.
Well, how do you know if someone's got it? What is
heartburn?
No, but you might have it. Listening to a podcast, how would I know that they have it?
I think they would be talking about it. That's what it sounds like she's saying.
Wow. So there's a lot of people out there who are talking about their acid reflux.
Mm-hmm. See, you think this is boring.
It's no wonder we're at the top of the charts.
I have not noticed an influx of reflux.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Good, good, good.
Write that down. Are you writing that down?
Yeah, I wrote it down. That's what my book's going to be called, An Influx of Reflux.
Yeah.
Thoughts on lotions and more.
Lotions and Wounds by... That's impressive.
Lotion, wounds, and reflux.
Oh.
Yeah, it might be... what's it called when you become aware of something and then you start hearing it everywhere? Meinhof... is it Meinhof Bader?
No, but you should tell your listeners about your Doodle Wagner experience.
Oh my God, Doodles Weaver. I gotta tell Tony, but yes, I will tell them too. But we're talking about reflux here. You want to know something interesting that you won't think's interesting? For the longest time, I had never experienced a hangover and I'd never experienced heartburn. And I remember being like, is this a hangover? Is this a hangover? And then, because I don't know, I think I was too young. Like my body was just metabolizing alcohol too well or something. And then
like
all 12? Of a sudden, I was 12, six. No, in college, I would like drink a lot. Not a lot. I didn't drink.
And you wouldn't have a hangover?
Mm-mm. I didn't drink a lot. But there were nights in college where I did drink an excessive amount and then no hangover. Yeah, it wasn't until after college. And I mean, boy, you really know when you have one. Mm. And also heartburn. I would be like, is this heartburn? Is this heartburn? I don't know. I forget when it actually became very apparent, though, and especially during pregnancy, it was bad. Do you get heartburn?
I don't know. What is maybe? What is the feeling of having heartburn?
A pain in your chest?
Maybe a little bit.
It's like right here, and it just feels like a burning, painful sensation. I feel like you would know if you had it.
I probably have. I don't know. I get all sorts of pains all the time. I don't know what the fuck they are. I always assume it's cancer.
You do. That's always where your head goes. What was the one that you wondered if it was cancer the other night?
I had a fever. I don't know. Like, if you have cancer, do you get a fever? Probably, right?
And I said I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
I haven't noticed an uptick in reflux.
Okay, so on the episode with Matt Gourley and Mark McConville, number two, Tony's Picks, we talked about Doodles Weaver, who is the husband of that, that's my foot.
Oh, sorry.
When Daniel and I took walks during the pandemic, there's this very interestingly decorated house that had signs in the yard of the house, or like in the front of the house, for this woman's podcast. Signs advertising this woman, like Rania's World or something. Rena, I forget her name. And I was like, who is this woman? And I looked her up, and she had been married to a guy named Doodles Weaver, which is the best name ever. And Tony, when I told him, he's like, oh my God, I got to write that down. I collect weird names. I don't know what his collection looks like. So, and it's Sigourney Weaver's great uncle or some relation to Sigourney Weaver. So Doodles Weaver came up on the show again, and we were talking about him. Okay, that happened. No, that happened. So anyway, then I'm writing a story for Upworthy about Disneyland. And I think the story's up already. And it's about Disneyland. It doesn't matter what it's about, but it's about Disneyland. And so I'm Googling and I'm researching and I encounter the term lift hill, which is like a roller coaster thing. And everyone's using this term, like, and I'm like, what is it? And then I'm Googling, and then something takes me to this page for wacky soapbox racers, which really takes me back. And I'm like, could this be that Knott's Berry Farm ride that I rode when I was young? And it is. There's this page for this defunct ride at Knott's Berry Farm, the wacky soapbox racers. And I don't, it looks like the people who made the ride made this memorial page for it. And there's a video talking about the announcer, Doodles Weaver.
That is.
And how great he is.
Crazy.
I feel like.
But why him? Like, why did it talk about him? Why would a page about reference him?
Because I guess he was like the recorded announcer of the soapbox cars. Oh. It was like a race.
Because he did like voiceover.
Yeah. Would you like to hear a little bit of Doodles Weaver's?
Oh yeah.
Okay. But isn't that so crazy?
It's really nuts, actually.
Okay. Oh, discuss your fondest memories of the ride on our soapbox blog. And enjoy the original. Okay, here we go. As an inspiration, the wackiest announcer that has ever lived is Doodles Weaver, who broadcast a madcap car race in the Spike Jonze classic Dance of the Hours. This is a different Spike Jonze, right? It has to have been. It has to have been. This is from 1957. Guests would hear his opening call to drivers for each wacky race right up till you hit that fence. You'll see how fun Doodles is and why we used him. I can't believe all this made it into a theme park ride. He looks like George Bush.
Take it away, Indianapolis Speedway! Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
this is Doodles Weaver in the press box at Indianapolis. It's a beautiful day for the races out here. The cars are ready to go. They're lined up perfectly. The sun is out, not a cloud in the sky. 200,000 people are waiting for this great event. And what a spectacle. What a wonderful spectacle. I'll describe the whole thing to you watching on television. Now the boys are coming down here. There's number 14 with Hugh Galler on the inside. They're coming down here. The green flag is waving. The star says, okay, it's going to be a perfect start. And there they go! 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jack, Queen, King, hit me again, dealer. I'm in. I'm good. I've had it.
Wrong game.
I mean, no wonder she married him.
I want to marry him. So funny.
Look at him go. Here comes car number 10. Here comes car number 10. There he goes right now. Car number 3, 4, 5, 6. A wreck. The man is skidding around. He's out of control. Up with the fence, down on the fence. I think he's out of control. All his wheels are gone. Yeah, he's out of control. He's going to nick that fence. Please don't hit the fence. Watch out. Don't hit the fence.
Oh, he's doing the sound effects.
Down there involving 300 cars.
So, yeah.
I feel like everyone was so easily entertained back in the day.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, God bless him. Old doodles. He's not with us anymore, is he?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah.
Let's find out his cause of death.
I mean, if it's not old age.
Doodles have Weaver. What?
I was going to say, have you seen pictures of Clint Eastwood these days?
Doodles Weaver passed away in 1983.
Oh, my God.
TV comedian. Winstead Sheffield Doodles Weaver, Tony might have already read this on the show, was an American character, actor, comedian. I feel like I should be reading it like, an American character, actor, comedian, and musician, born into a wealthy West Coast family. Mm. Nepo baby. Mm. Weaver began his career in radio in the late 1930s. He performed on Rudy Valley's radio programs and Kraft Music Hall. He later joined Spike Jonze's City Slickers. He and I have the same birthday. May 11th. Doodles!
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
Oh, Rita Green, not Ronnie. Why was I saying that? Her name is Rita Green.
Who, Rita's World?
Yes, that's what it was.
Is Rita still with us? I feel like she's a very...
Wait a minute. Not Rita Green. Age. But it was Rita's World, I thought. Rita died... Oh, no, he was married to her till 1968. Let's see. Oh, yeah, aha. It's R-E-I-T-A. Now it is coming back.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, her name is Rita Green, the wallpaper queen. There's a YouTube here.
And why is she the wallpaper queen?
I don't know.
Hey, Glenn here. I make YouTube videos and the only comments I get are, how's Rita doing? So we have a story from Rita Green, the wallpaper queen. Rita, why are you so popular?
Wow. Glenn, I didn't know I'm popular, but I'll take it. You know, I love everybody, Glenn, when I see people walk by and I got all the signs up, you know, like,
yeah,
we got to be kind to each other and see the good in each other and all this and that. And I guess that's why they like me, because number one, I don't know any better. I came from South Dakota. I was born there and then I lived in Nebraska. And at 14, I graduated from the 8th grade, and the Horace Heights show came to Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Well, I auditioned, and they had an opening for a girl dancer. So they asked my mother and father, we want her to join the Horace Heights show, the youth opportunity. And I was so excited at 14 and a half. And they said, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And the principal of the school and the priest of the community came to visit my mom and dad at their creamery. And they said, Rita's a good girl. She knows right from wrong. Let her go, but never sign a contract. If she's not happy, she comes home. So that worked. So my mom and another friend drove me to Mitchell, South Dakota. Wow. So I'm with the Horace Heights show.
That story.
And finally we got to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how she got from South Dakota.
So it all worked out. I whirled.
She tells stories like I do.
And what do you know? He was the best man in town.
Is it Doodles?
Helped me with my school.
How did she become the wallpaper queen?
And then people air their little grievances. And then I met Mr. Doodles Weaver with the Horace Heights show.
Here we go.
And he was like a protector. He's smart, Phi Beta Kappa. And he would help me with my schoolwork. We had a tutor on the road. Well.
Creepy. A little predatory.
Know about this, Doodles. Doodles was doing a little doodling.
Ew. She's a good girl.
everything worked out. And he
she knows
said,
right
someday
from wrong.
I'm going to marry. Oh, I'm not getting married till I'm 21.
Mister.
And the show had closed by then. And what do you know? He was the best man in town.
That's sweet.
I married Mr. Weaver. So, and I had two children, and I have a home here in Burbank. And I'm the luckiest lady because, number one, I come from love. My little cup says, all you need is love.
And coffee. Well, at the bottom it says, and coffee.
If you don't
all right.
have fear,
what's good?
I need
Dunsweiler.
God bless her, but I don't need to hear the whole thing.
Why is she the wallpaper queen, though?
It didn't answer very many questions. Look, my only questions were, why is she the wallpaper queen and she's still on Earth?
I think she is. Oh, Rita Green wallpaper hanger. Rita Green, the wallpaper queen, she's on Yelp. I think she actually does
wallpaper.
Yes. I mean, it can't be her. She's too old. There's a lot of pictures of her with wallpaper here. Let's see here. Let's go to the reviews. Okay.
She's the Taylor Swift of putting up wallpaper.
In that what? We're talking about her a lot? Uh-oh. One star.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, if you're getting like a 94-year-old lady to hang your wallpaper, don't have high expectations.
June 16th, 2023. Rita and her assistant did one room in my house. There was severe bubbling on one part of the wall, which they said would disappear over time. It never went away, and they won't even respond to my request to fix it. Not a professional way to treat a customer. Okay, but 5 stars. Once again, another Fabu wallpaper experience with Miss Green, the wallpaper queen. Thanks, Beverly and Rita. Uh-oh, another 1 star.
Her assistant is Beverly.
This is from this year, March 24th. No, from last year, excuse me. We hired Rita Green and her associate to wallpaper a wall in our living room about a year ago. It looked okay at the time, but is now bubbling in several places.
Listen, okay, I have a problem with these people leaving these reviews. You do not hire the wallpaper queen for the wallpapering. You hire her for the storytelling. And the love.
Right. And the love. She comes from love. Okay. Is now bubbling in several places. Will need to be replaced or repaired. Nonetheless, my wife hired her and her associate to come back. That must be Beverly, right? To come back to wallpaper a small bathroom that we are remodeling. Timing was critical as the toilet was removed and the vanity was not yet in place. So the wall was completely opened and exposed. Why did they bring her back?
I don't know.
Because she's charismatic. When I came home from the office, I was shocked. The work was really bad. There were numerous bubbles, and the paper looked like it had been cut with dull scissors as the edges were ragged and uneven.
Again, she's got to be in her 90s, right?
In one spot, right in the middle of the wall for all to see, the edges didn't even come together. And this is how I wrap a gift. And sections of the underlying wall were visible. It was just a sloppy job altogether. We placed a stop pay on the check and contacted them to describe our disappointment. We offered them, and they accepted, another chance to make good after we ordered a new paper. They were scheduled today at 2 o'clock. My wife waited, but they never showed up. When my wife called them, they answered the phone and promptly hung up. Poor workmanship, no attention to detail, and just plain rude is how I would describe these two ladies and their work.
Again, I think that's a you problem.
Yeah, and then we have like Rita is a true master craftsman. Yeah, she knows her business.
That's right.
Rita did a phenomenal job. I love Rita. I'm just reading like the first line of these. Rita did an excellent job of putting up 8 panels of wallpaper on our conference room.
I'm wondering if we have any other calls.
Are you bored with hearing about Rita's wallpaper work?
I'm never bored with anything. Yes.
Fine, because I just found another 1 star, but I guess we'll just go to more
calls. I feel like we get it. That's good. Next topic.
Guys, are you on Team Daniel or Team Allison?
Hey, Allison and Daniel. This is Heather from Thousand Oaks. Okay, 2 things. One, I remember where I was when Kurt Cobain died, and also where I was when Jerry Garcia died. When
Thank
Jerry
you.
Garcia died, I worked for a dude who was obsessed with him, and he literally closed our office for the day so that we could mourn Jerry Garcia. I was not that into Jerry Garcia, so I found that odd. Kurt Cobain's story is not as exciting. Secondly, I am tripping out. So when you said Pirates of Penzance is about a guy whose dad wanted him to be a pilot, but the lady was hard of hearing, and so that's how he became a pirate. I'm wondering if that scene in Pretty Woman where he takes her to see Pirates of Penzance, and when it's over, the old lady next to them says, how did you enjoy it? And she says, it was so great, I nearly peed my pants. And Richard Gere's character has to correct her and say, I don't even remember what the line was, but he corrects her because the lady was hard of hearing. I wonder if that's like a hard of hearing nod. I'm tripping out on this.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way? This is Heather from Thousand Oaks. Goodbye.
Maybe. I don't remember that scene in Pretty Woman. And I never made the association, but maybe. Maybe it was like a little, you know, illusion.
I'm not 100% sure I've even ever seen Pretty Woman.
Oh, really?
Like,
lights would be good here when he doesn't turn his lights on.
Like, I can think of scenes from it, but those scenes might just be scenes I've seen.
Big mistake. Huge.
In clips from it. Like, I don't think I could tell you much about it.
Hmm. Well, now I got to look up Pretty Woman opera scene. I mean, sorry, Pirates of Penzance. Okay, here we go.
Did you enjoy the opera, dear? Oh, it was so good, I almost peed my pants.
What?
She said she liked it better than Pirates of Penzance.
Oh.
It could be.
Oh, maybe. That's kind of clever.
I bet you that's...
Yeah. That is clever. You know, I don't like that...
Hey, everybody, ooh. It's Angie,
hi.
Welcome to Hot and Flashy. I have a special guest here on my channel today. This is
Beauty for Women in Their Hot Flash Years. I like her a lot. What the hell was I going to say? I do not like whether you like opera or not as a measure of someone's like quality. Because I don't like opera and I feel like I am a quality person.
I have tried to like opera.
I went to an opera and it's just like, oh my God. I don't even think it sounds pretty. That's the problem.
I know. I can't even put it on musically. I just can't with it.
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of it.
Glad we feel the same. If you listen and you enjoy opera, can you explain it? Explain what you like about it? Because I think it's supposed to stir a lot of emotions, but I don't know. Me neither. Okay. You know, the other day, I had Grateful Dead stuck in my head.
Ugh.
And I was like, I really want to hear them right now. Can I want to...
That's what headphones were created
for. Can I possibly do this to Daniel? And I decided not to, but I just thought it was interesting that I was just like,
never
I had to...
use your headphones, though. Why?
I know.
Why? I always use my headphones.
You know, I don't know. It feels like a whole thing to get them out and then pair them and just like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm very aware of them in my ears.
It's really not a whole thing, though.
It feels like it, though, with the pairing, and the ears.
Well, I appreciate you not putting on the Grateful Dead. I do.
If I'm going to listen to music, I just would rather not have it be right inside my brain. I'd rather like listen to it from a speaker.
It's always happening inside your brain, honey.
Yeah, but I'd rather not have it playing from inside my brain.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for not putting on the Grateful Dead.
Hey girl, hey. This is Jess Flowers calling from Philadelphia. We had a hurricane. Good Lord. We had an earthquake today.
Did you hear this one?
Everybody's losing their minds. It was so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you folks in California find that adorable for us.
I feel like, okay.
I guess that's it. I don't think this is really interesting.
I do. No, I think we heard another person calling in on the
about
day of the earthquake.
Yeah,
I think it's adorable. It's unusual is what it is.
I think they have more reason to be afraid of earthquakes on the East Coast than we do because they have not built their cities to withstand earthquakes.
This is one of Daniel's fundamental principles.
Well,
bricks should have no business being around places that could have earthquakes.
Drive around LA. Mm-hmm. Look at the homes that have brick fireplaces, the chimneys, and they're all repaired. You can see them because when there are big earthquakes, it's the brick structure that is the weakest. The only thing weaker than that is adobe. Like if you had
straw, is straw.
I don't know, man. You know, a straw might not be weaker than adobe.
It's Three Little Bears.
Yeah, I get reference. It, but
Little Riding Hood.
I think like an engineer. Okay.
Okay. I don't think
in terms of fairy tales.
I think like Grimm.
So, the only thing weaker than brick is adobe. So I guess if you're in Santa Fe or, anywhere there's brick, you should be worried if there's an earthquake. Absolutely.
Three Little Pigs. That's what I'm thinking of. Is Red Riding Hood Grimm? It is, right?
Couldn't tell you. Because isn't there, there's the other one. There's Grimm and then
Hans Christian Andersen?
And then there's the other one.
Who's the other one?
The lady. There's
Snow White.
Mother Hubbard. What is it?
Old Mother Hubbard's Book of Geese and shit.
Well, that was before they cleaned it up. Old Mother Hubbard's Book of Geese and shit.
the nursery rhymes.
Yeah, there's like a...
But those aren't fairy tales, I don't think.
Which one are we talking about?
Three Little Bears. Yes, my mouth is insisting that it's called Three Little Bears.
The Three Pigs does not sound
it's
like
Little
Grimm.
It's Little Red Riding Hood.
Well, Little Red Riding Hood is Grimm. The Three Pigs is not Grimm. It can't be.
Oh.
Grimm
I'm conflating two of them, sorry. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house
down. That's the Three Pigs.
And that has nothing to do with Little Red Riding Hood.
Correct.
But there's a wolf in both, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. I'm thinking of Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, no, I'm not.
No, you're not.
The straw is the pigs.
Oh, my God.
I'm the new wallpaper queen. Okay, Three Little Pigs. It's a Guar song as well. Let's see.
I think that's where most people know it from.
For real?
Most people know the Three Little Pigs from the Guar song.
Okay.
It's Grimm, Mother Hubbard, and Guar are the three.
Brothers Grimm Fairy Tales of Three Little Pigs. Okay.
I just would be surprised. I'm not saying I have no idea, but I would just be surprised if it's Grimm. It doesn't feel like a Grimm story to me.
Well, according to what I'm looking at, it is.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. Let's listen to another one.
Hey, Allison and Daniel. This is Angela. I'm calling from Texas, and you asked, how's it going out there? Well, it is, what's today, April 11th, and I'm 35 weeks pregnant, and I'm really fucking over it, you know what I mean? First, I had this baby out. I already love him very much, but it is exhausting to be pregnant. Anyway, I'm just wondering if you guys have any advice for new parents. I think I've asked this a couple times in different ways. Well, maybe with y'all or Jenna. Maybe use Jenna. Or when are you going to talk to Jenna again on the pod? Because I love her and miss her. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I love her and miss her too. Congratulations on this imminent baby. My memory of the very end is that it is so uncomfortable.
I don't know. I feel like it was fun.
And also you can't sleep, which people say is nature preparing you for the sleepless nights. I don't know if that's true, but it's just like you get to the point where you're like, I know it's insane that this thing is going to come out of a hole that big, but that sounds better than this. Advice for a new parent. It gets better. It's hard at the beginning. You will have moments where you're like, how am I going to do this? But it all gets better.
Yeah. I mean,
and accept help from people who want to come over and hold the baby. Well, not at first.
Not, isn't there like a period where you need to?
Yeah, not. I guess not at first, but.
I would say, first of all, don't worry. It's like you level up. Mm-hmm. So you'll everything will come to you. You'll learn everything you need to learn. That's number one. Number two, the lack of sleep. You'll think at first like, oh, I can handle this. And then 2 months in, it's like there's a point where you go, you reach psychotic. Like you just, and I would just say that it's very common for couples to have a lot of problems because you're both, just remember that it's the sleep.
Yeah.
Like everything feels, you might get to a place, or you might be lucky and you have a kid that sleeps through the night and this doesn't even apply. But chances are very good that you will find yourself some months into the baby being born that you hate your spouse with the red hot burning passion of 1,000 exploding suns. You just know that that's because you haven't slept. It's not real. This will pass, and
resentment is natural too.
Yeah, because you've got to figure out it's going to change everything about the dynamic of your relationship, the rhythms of your life. Everything's changing. You've got to find it takes a while. So just give yourself permission to loathe your partner. Just hate them.
When you said the rhythm of your life, yeah, it reminded me of a certain commercial that I got to find.
I'm just remembering after our baby class.
With trusting eyes, the children show minds open, hearts true, our spirit grows.
Oh, yeah.
The fabric of our lives. The touch, the feel of cotton. The fabric of our lives.
What's this guy's name again?
It's an ad for cotton.
I know, but the singer, he's like a famous...
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I never liked his voice.
Shorts remixing this video. There's someone else who remixed it. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, he's like
Richie Havens. Oh wait, no, okay.
Anyway,
he did Rich. Yeah, I always liked this commercial too. Last weekend, I was honored to mix the sound for a Richie Havens concert in my hometown. No, he didn't play this. Richie is the legend. I think it is.
Yeah. Anyway, I never him. And, like, yeah, it's Richie Altero, Havens. I don't know. There's a certain vocalist. There was a guy in our baby class, and at the end of the baby class, the gal who ran the class was like, okay, everyone go, we'll go around. Everyone give, that question. Like, what advice would you give to the next parents who are coming in? And everyone had like stuff like what we just said. And he was just like, nitrile gloves will protect your hands. Like his big takeaway from a year of having a baby is
you need nitrile gloves,
nitrile gloves when you're changing diapers. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Just keep some nitrile gloves right there.
Isn't it nitrile?
I don't know.
It's spelled like nitrile, but...
I was trying to split the difference between the two pronunciations.
You didn't.
I didn't do nitrile, and I didn't do nitrile. I did nitrile.
But I heard nitrile.
I know.
You'll hear
whatever you want to hear when
this
I say
is
it.
Like... Yeah, it's like a magic eye poster. This is like when I was like trying to say macabre.
Yes,
but
macabre.
And this guy that I was semi dating was like, "Why do you pronounce the R?" Because I guess I was going like macabre. I was trying to split the dip, split macabre. The dip on the.
I have a bunch of words like that.
Oh, what are the
others? There's another one I can't remember now. Where you don't know if you're supposed to pronounce the thing, so you just kind of ride
hit it. But
I did one on the show recently, and I got made fun of.
Oh, you did?
What was it? Macabre?
Know.
It might have been macabre.
like Les Miserables.
Yeah.
He acted like I was saying macabre.
Macabre. I don't know.
Anyway, that's what I'm hearing when you say nitrile.
I don't know. I just pronounce it that way.
Remember how Elliot used to say potty?
How?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai?
No, he'd go like, I'm going to go Pad Thai. He like was just...
No consonants.
Yes, it was just vowels.
He's like, he's Ariana Grande.
I'm going to go use the Pad Thai. Pad Thai. But he'd also say Pad Thai.
He's very sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. He still comes up and he would be embarrassed if I said this, so don't tell him. Don't tell him that I'm saying this, but he comes up and he goes, I'm going to use the body. I'm going to lock the door. And then also when he was little, when he was still in a diaper, he would go, as he was pooping, he'd go,
don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Yeah. Which I think he meant, don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me is what he meant.
Don't tell me. And then one time he said, I don't want Owen to tickle me. How often is that happening?
I don't know. Must have happened.
I don't recall Owen ever tickling him while he was trying to go to the bathroom.
I don't either. Do we have more calls? Or?
I mean, we do, but I feel like it's time to wrap it up.
Okay.
We have a lot more calls for next time. Danielle, will you give my little spiel at the end about Patreon and stuff? Because you're better at it than I am.
Okay, here's the spiel. Allison's not pulling her fair share in this house anymore. And I might have to make her go get a real job. And so you out there can help. If you love this show, keep her from having to work an honest day's work. Is that right?
I feel like that's wrong. I feel like that's different.
No, the truth is...
Adjathan.
There's no ads... And so
that's not true. I have one every 5 weeks, and then in December I have a couple.
Okay,
I have a few more.
It's just not a money maker.
It's unsustainable.
It's not a profit-driven project.
And no, it's a labor of love.
So
I'm giving it away for free.
And but you know
something I've never done before.
We're still investing in the show. We just bought a bunch of studio equipment video.
What a mistake that is.
And so we're still like acting as though it's a profitable
solvent
venture.
Right. When really it's just a big fat goose egg.
And so we rely on your support. Yeah. And it is.
Well, it's just that our model has changed from being advertiser based to being Patreon based. So
right.
You are the people who can contribute to that
and
if you want
so,
to. And we appreciate it so much.
Yeah,
but people have really stepped up and I appreciate it so much. And I was just thinking
really
today, this morning, I was having a dark night of the soul, a dark morning of the soul. And I was thinking, you know, it's okay because I'm just switching over to a subscriber model. Well, no, I'm not, because I'm not going to go. I'm not ever going to say the only way you can access the show is by paying for it. That's what a true subscriber model is. But I'm switching over to being directly listener supported, which is actually awesome. It's actually an awesome way to be. It just needs to be, I just need to like scale it up in that sense, because right now it's still, you know, scary times. But thank you so much. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon!
Daniel and I recorded an episode of Friend Zone recently where we answered your questions. And then I have one where I'm going to talk about a little something that I couldn't talk about on air, but I'm going to talk about it behind the paywall. So patreon.com/AllisonRosen. If you do an annual subscription, you get 2 months free. And then also check us out everywhere else, all the places. Go to allisonslinks.com. Please, my Substack as well, allisonrosen.substack.com. And we have merch and my book. If you got the book, please leave a review, because the new version needs more reviews, because right now it looks, I look at the number of reviews and it's, you know, a lot of people bought the original, but I think, as Daniel said, who cares about a book that came out 5 years ago? And I said, honey, thank you for your support. It's got new material though.
And new illustrations.
New illustrations. A eulogy for my dad. The actual, eulogy for my dad is in the book. I annotated it.
I mean, it's good.
And it's also got
Allison's
funny stuff.
She's a good writer.
Yeah.
We should support her writing, because that's the only thing she's got going on anymore.
Sweetie, thank you.
You guys support her writing, for the love of God. Help this family.
Where do we find you?
Well, you can find me at Daniel Quantz on on the places where you would find someone.
All right. This has been wonderful. Listener, oh, if you want to call in, 323-553-2331. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Listeners, I thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? We had a good time.